Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell on a wonderful morning here in Houston, Texas. Man, oh man, oh man, was that fun last night. The arena was electric. I was worried that after game one that the crowd might be a bit deflated, that the team might be a bit deflated. Had they played the same way that they played in game one, I think that would have been the case. I think that it would have been another one of those, oh well.
What's all about makes and misses? I mean, the crowd gets into it when you're making baskets and you're and Golden State.
Well,
actually got
it's
the
also
first
about
10.
Style of play. I'm writing a sports map article, and the analogy is that the Rockets were LSU in game one and they were Texas Tech in game two.
All right, but it was just as electric in the first half, playing the same style, and everyone was loud when they were making baskets in game one.
Right, but it was Leonard Fournette breaking away and just using the entire shot clock, the play clock. It was, and quite frankly, it was really, really boring.
I didn't think it was
one guy getting his, and the rest of the guys just standing around.
I don't think that had anything to do with the crowd. I think it had to do with why you lost. I would say that. I would agree with that. I think the crowd gets into it when you're winning.
Well, in the third quarter, the crowd was not nearly in. That's right.
Swamped you.
That's exactly right.
It's wins and losses.
And they kept on dribble. Last night was exciting. Was electric.
Well, they played fast. Look, there's going to be a lot of talk about how they got away from ISO ball.
No, they didn't.
They didn't really get away from
ISO.
They
played faster.
Everyone can the TNT guys want so badly to be right. Say, I don't care what they say. Chris Webber's like, I don't care what they say. They're getting away from ISO ball. No, they're actually not. They're just penetrating.
Yeah.
They played faster in the clock. They got into early offense. Here's the key. They got into early offense. They played faster. The ball didn't stagnate as much. But at the end of the day, it was one guy taking one guy off the dribble. It was still in isolation, but they did it with more movement. You can play ISO ball with more movement. ISO ball just means you're not using as much screen and roll, frankly. You're not hitting as many back cuts, which when they penetrated, Eric Gordon and there are so many keys to this win. It's not even one guy. I mean, Eric Gordon came off the milk carton.
Yeah.
Because he showed up. But it wasn't just makes, John. It was penetration. Like, he refused to settle.
Well, it was here, and I thought, Kenny, the graphic at halftime was perfect. Early in the offense, drive, get to the paint, stop, find somebody. And James created some separation. I talked about it in the sports map article. My favorite possession of the entire season was James drives in, passes to Gordon. Gordon gets it to Paul. Paul drives in, gets it back to James. He gets it to Ariza in the corner. Ariza gets it
switch
to Gordon.
PJ. Is it Gordon or Tucker?
To Gordon, and Gordon knocks down the three.
I know exactly the player you're talking about because it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I couldn't remember if it was Tucker.
They had one possession like that. Was it against Minnesota or against Utah? A touch pass. They swung it around. James hits a touch pass to Gordon, and Gordon knocks down a three. That's I don't care. You can lie to me all you want. It was just because they used isolate. It was totally different. It wasn't standing there, stagnant offense. It was moving. It was penetrating. It was dishing. It was getting everyone involved. It was so much fun.
But it was a lot of it was still the same.
It was still, yeah.
But you know what? This is what drove me crazy. after game one, and you know, it's, I think local fans and media are probably guilty of it too. There's this belief, there's acting like this is the way the Rockets play. This is just how they play. First of all, if you watched games, you know that they didn't play just one brand of basketball. They had games where they would, where it would be James taking everybody and they'd win. But they had a lot of times where the ball moved and it was crisp and it didn't look like it was fun to watch. It wasn't always this ISO stand there, one guy, no one would move from the 3-point line. They had a lot of games where they moved the ball quickly, got good baskets, played in rhythm. So there's a reason they beat the piss out of teams nonstop this year and they won 65 games. It wasn't because they just sat there and did 1-4-7. That's the whole time. So for people to act like, well, this is how they played all year, it's always been boring, this has been the Rockets' way. No, that's not accurate. They had a bad game in game one. They didn't have a bad game. They were actually executed fairly well. But what they did made them more susceptible to a game. Look, ISO ball. What did ISO ball have to do with Klay Thompson getting 4 wide open three looks? Nick Young getting 3 wide open three looks. What did that have to do with ISO or whatever? You know, people like to point to one thing. How about they lost the turnover battle by 4? How about Nick Young and had 3 open three looks in game one that he hit and Klay Thompson had 4? That's 21 points where there was no contesting the shots at all. No one even mentioned stuff like that. James over dribbled. They weren't. The Warriors closed you out on the perimeter, and they say, we're not going to let you get threes. And the Rockets would take jab steps trying to get them to loosen up so they could still shoot threes. In game two, they took it to the basket and were incredibly aggressive. And you know, the guy that really set the tone was Chris Paul. Chris Paul refused to just settle, and he was going hard and aggressive at the basket. And honestly, James was, to me, I almost felt like James was wasn't a non-factor, but he was just part of the tapestry of the game. He was not the main guy, and that's okay. Sometimes he needs to be. Yesterday was not one of those days. James had his baskets. He had a solid game. He attacked the basket, and I mean, he had a couple where he settled for a 28-foot jumper in the fourth quarter, bricked, and the Warriors came down and got 2, and I'm like, I swear to God, James, if you start to, and then all of a sudden, freaking Eric Gordon did the same thing. And I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. And then after, like literally shortly thereafter, Golden State kept turning over. The Rockets all of a sudden splashing threes and it was a wrap. I mean, the beating was on. But being aggressive and attacking the basket was really the key there. Now, you saw the Warriors have a good game with wide open looks and all that stuff. I thought Steph Curry actually attacked the basket great yesterday. Klay Thompson, non-factor. This just goes to show you that it's not going to be the same every game. You can't just get it in your mind that whatever you see in game one is what the rest of the series is going to be. Game two, I mean, do we think, so if that's the case, are we just going to say Klay Thompson's never going to show up ever again the rest of the series? Because he didn't show up yesterday, and the Rockets didn't give away wide open threes this game.
No, well, that was the difference.
They didn't have defensive breakdowns. Well, who
else did Steph Curry? The Rockets do a pretty damn good job.
They're not letting him get threes.
Taking Steph Curry out.
That switching really means that they can always crowd him on the perimeter. He's a great finisher at the rim, John. I'd rather have him doing that, frankly.
And I know, and you know, we talked about this. How do you stop him and whatnot? I guess Chris Paul on Kevin Durant is a good idea, I guess, because he's going to get his. And as long as everybody else is covered, you know, okay. Well, it worked. Hey, so I'm not. Listen, they had, for whatever reason,
30.
Time and again, Chris Paul was on Kevin Durant, and it seemed like this is a really bad idea.
He had 38. I don't know that it worked great. It was 13 to 22.
But they only scored how many? So, you know what? The other guys, you can get, Kevin Durant is going to get his. Just like James Harden got his 41, if nobody else gets involved. And it was almost identically opposite. They went isolated. They didn't get any plays. They weren't moving the ball. Yeah. They were just settling for three-pointers.
They were working hard. The Rockets weren't working as hard for the basket. It didn't appear to be the Rockets were working as hard for the baskets.
No.
Because they were
moving the ball.
They were attacking,
like,
and they had ball movement.
Golden State did in game one.
And ball movement.
It was a reversal. It was almost the two teams changed uniforms.
But the ball movement, it's not like coming off screens. Like, the Rockets work from an isolation set where they take a guy off the dribble, and then it's drive and dish. That's a Mike D'Antoni offense. It was that way with Steve Nash. You drive and dish. And then once the ball's dished, then you get the rotations around the perimeter.
That's what Golden State did a lot, too, with Kevin Durant driving and dishing, or Steph or Clay or whatever.
That's why this ISO thing was such a played-out thing. It's don't let the ball get sticky and stagnate. That's what it is. It's not the ISO. It's the stagnation of the ball. Is the real key. People just get too hung up on a word, and then they say, oh, there's an easy narrative. Let's roll with that.
The ball was sticky to James Harden. And you're going to be able to see it pretty soon. I'm right. Yeah, they were both. But if you're lying to yourself if you're saying that that was the same offense, because it wasn't.
Well, it was.
Because they played fast.
And they were aggressive.
Yeah. They actually passed the ball as opposed to just standing there.
You know, it can be the same offense. It can be different executions. If James is going to just be the ball massager, well, that doesn't sound right. But you know what I'm talking about, Dell. If he's just going to be the guy who dribbles a lot, there's really no other way to say it. If he's just going to be the guy who dribbles a lot, then that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Then you're going to be highly dependent upon him getting makes, which he did in game one. He had over 40 points. But when you ask other guys to step up and make shots, they're too cold. It's like they're coming right off the bench to pinch hit, and they're all wearing Mariznick jerseys. And by the way, Luke Mbamariznick has got to go away. Mm-hmm. He just can't play basketball anymore. He was 0-9 the last two games. Luke Mariznick is just an atrocity.
Well, he did get a bat. He finally did walk.
Hey,
did you see at the end of the game? He got a walk.
Let's get is that Cube right now? Let's get Ice Cube in right now. We're going to talk about the big three. As he comes on right now, and I know, you know, and Ice Cube, we know you're a big basketball fan, so we're here in Houston, so we're talking about game two of the Western Conference Finals, which I'm sure you're watching a little bit about that, but you got your own basketball league going on. This is year two of the big three, and I know you guys have, I followed it, you guys have made some changes in the offseason in terms of how you're handling your roster. You got a new commissioner. Tell us what's really going on in year two of the big three and how you thought year one went. You there?
Uh-oh, they're right. They're trying to talk to them on here. They're trying to talk to him.
Yeah. Oh. Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Well, give us your thoughts on Western Conference Finals, ma'am.
All right.
Del, why don't you just listen and just see when he's ready?
Is he ready? No, he's not ready. Okay, well, we'll get to...
When he's ready, just let us know. She's like, oh, my gosh, they're asking me about the commissioner and how did the Rockets stagnate the ball up top. She was asking about high screen and rolls with Clint Capella.
Well, that they didn't use any. Why?
Yeah.
He's there?
We got Cube.
Ice Cube is here. Ice Cube is with us here on ESPN 97.5 here in Houston. Ice Cube, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm with my man Kenyon Martin, too. We both here.
All right, nice. Good. Kenyon, how are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great, man. We appreciate you being here on ESPN 97.5. You guys watched those Rockets last night? How about them Rockets?
They look pretty good. They did what they were supposed to do. I was worried about them after game one, but, you know, now it look like they woke up and they're ready to play.
You and the entire city.
Hey, good luck.
Well, good luck meaning what? Going back to G State?
Good luck with that monster out there, man. Hey.
I think Houston got a good shot, man.
Please tell him, Cube. Kenyon, they just got beat by like almost damn near 30.
It don't matter, man. Y'all had to play that way.
That's right, and it's going to keep doing that.
You watch it. You watch them. They ain't scared. Yeah. They ain't scared. They showed it last night, Kenyon. They ain't scared.
It's a basketball game. Ain't nobody got no guns or sticks.
Maybe Draymond. I don't know. You got to watch him.
I know Draymond.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's talk about the big three.
They made adjustments like they should have. So we'll see game three.
You got to play fast. You got to get in an early offense. You just wait around, and Durant's too good. We'd love to sit and talk about the West Conference Finals with both of you. Let's get to the big three quickly. Cube, you guys made some changes after year one. The roster composition is a little different. I know you changed commissioners as well. Tell us what you really liked about year one and what kind of changes you made for year two.
Well, year one was great. You know, year one was a show me year. We had to show the world what we had and what it was all about. The guys played hard. That was the best part of it, because if guys go out there like it's a kind of like a friendly pickup game, then it doesn't work. But if guys go out there and let their competitive juices flow, You know, we have a great league, and that's what happened. And so it was just great that the fans started to really buy into it, to start understanding the teams, the team names, the players. They were starting to pick their fan favorites. So this year we wanted to just kind of continue that momentum and get better. You know, we believe we have a better commissioner, of course, and we feel like the guys are going to be, you know, totally in shape for game one. Last year we caught everybody off guard. So this year is really, you know, a prove-it year. You know, last year was a show-me year. This year is a prove that it's that good. And we, you know, we're dedicated to proving that we have the best basketball show in town.
What's the major changes that you're going to make this year?
Well, you know, we're going live this year. Last year we played on Sundays, but the games actually aired Monday nights. So this year we're going to be live on FS1 Friday nights, you know, 8 to 11. So that's great. You know, that's a step up. You know, we've added, you know, big name co-captains to the roster. And, you know, we've made a few little rule adjustments. So hopefully, you know, games won't end on free throws. You know, we had a few games end on free throws last year. We want them games to end in play. So, you know, we've made a few adjustments, but not too many. We have a great game.
Yeah, and you got some legends, obviously, a ton of different legends. Kenyon, you're playing. You got Cat Catino Mobley is going on. Rashard Lewis, both from one from the Rockets, and one Rashard obviously grew up here in the Houston area. You guys are going to be in Toyota Center on the 22nd of June. Tickets are available at Big3.com. They got a family four pack available there. So if you go to the family four pack, you can hook it up with a four-pack, and it is June 22nd. The game start at 6:30, so you can go to big3.com to find that. So you talked about guys being in better shape. You know, once you're out there, Kenyon, you don't want to embarrass yourself, and I think I wonder if there's some guys who got out there thought, okay, I'm in good shape. We're going to play a little, basically it's a little glorified pickup game. Everything will be good. And then you get out there and realize, ooh, I do not want to get embarrassed. Let me go ahead and get in a little better shape for year two.
Yeah, guys knew that after week one last year.
No, they did.
I'm saying week one, we thought we were in shape. You know, we knew it was going to be competitive, but not as competitive as it was week one. You know, it was like a playoff game out there week one last year. You know, so it's one of them things. We were guys got in better shape, and the play got better throughout the season. So I'm looking forward to this year. I know guys are going to be in great shape week one, like Cube said. You know, so we're looking forward to it.
Kenyon Martin, Ice Cube with us here on ESPN 97.5, Big 3 coming up. Kenyon, you had some comments about Chris Paul the other day. Have you talked to him?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was asked a question, you know, so I answered the question the best way I know how. I was a teammate of his with the Clippers, you know, so I had an inside knowledge of the question that he asked, and then they asked me about his play as well, you know, so, you know, it's just certain things about the game of basketball that I know, and that I know what's successful and I know what works, and I just voiced that opinion.
Yeah. He certainly is nice to have here, that's for sure. But I'll tell you this, when he was with you on that team, we didn't like him all that much here, I can tell you that. Now now that he's with us, we like him a lot more.
He's a good basketball player. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. So we'll see how this goes this year in the playoffs.
Hey, we got to wrap it up. We know you guys have to go. Cube, summer vacation to me, all-time underrated track for you. I just always want to say that. The beats are just, to this day, are unbelievable to me.
Guys.
Appreciate it. Big3.com. You can go get tickets there. And there's some pretty good, I mean, there's some good players here. There's some guys that you're like, what? He's still playing? And then
he's still alive, that guy?
Mario West.
Didn't figure that.
Lee Nalen.
Yeah, Lee Nalen.
Marcus Banks. But then you have guys like Ricky Davis, Carlos Boozer, Mike Bibby. Mike Bibby's one of those guys that you would have said, is Mike Bibby on a roster right now in the league? Is he still on a roster? No, yeah. he's in this league.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get back to our team and that win. Oh, and another win last night. Holy crap. I don't know who was better, P.J. Tucker or Justin Verlander. I don't know. I'm not sure who was better last night.
Oh, my gosh. Justin Verlander.
What?
And Verlander wasn't punching everyone out. That was one of those that I paused it so I could double watch. I had the two dual receivers.
Lance, this is called a tease. Remember?
Oh.
Remember that? Remember that?
Damn it. I just gave away the punch. Some people thought the Astros lost.
Big three starts June 22nd in Houston on FS1. Okay, so there you have it. Right here on ESPN 97.5, the Ice Cube. Let's talk about Skeeters right now. The Skeeters. Hey.
Speaking of family four-packs.
Yeah, you can get whatever. Group sales. You can get individual tickets. You can get mini-season packages.
You can send your Little League team there. I think my wife, we're going to get my daughter's coach pitch team to wear their little jerseys and go out to the game. They also have special things that they do for that, too.
So that's all going on right now at SugarlandSkeeters.com. Today, what is today, Lance?
Today would be Thirsty Thursday.
Thank you. Good night. Thirsty Thursday, my favorite day of the week. Thirsty Thursday at Constellation Field. You got a Girl Scout. There's a sleepover tomorrow night. Post-game fireworks. Memorial Hermann's Pink in the Park. You also got Skeeter's Puzzle Giveaway on Saturday night. Texas Auto Direct is bringing you that. First 2,000 fans through the gates. And then Sunday Funday, Bark in the Park, sponsored by Natural Paws and Merrick Pet Food. All at Constellation Field. Long home stand with the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. You got it all. Head on over there this weekend. Go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Congratulations. First off, got a couple runners on, though, that you're dealing with in the eighth and the ninth. How did you work through those innings?
I don't know. Good question. I just kind of dug down. And, I mean, honestly, the eighth and ninth just kind of went to the tank. I gave it all I had. Was hoping not to have to go back to it there in the ninth. But those guys, man, they got a good ball club. They got a really good lineup. And they dug down and got some big hits when they needed to. So it put a lot more pressure on me, especially in a two-run ballgame.
Yeah, early on, though, working through that lineup pretty easily. What was working for you throughout the night?
Really, a little bit of everything. I kind of could go with what I wanted, which is a nice feeling when you're out there on the mound. You know, I got a four-pitch mix and was using all of them tonight. So I got outs with every single one of them. These guys did a good job making an adjustment on my fastball up from the last start against them. I think they made a conscious effort, and you could see them. They just missed a couple. So it's a game of adjustments. I see those guys adjusting back to me, so I adjust accordingly.
Nice. Justin Verlander last night with Julia Morales after the game. The player, and I'm going to name him the player of the game last night. In the 2-0 win over the Angels. The Astros, just the offense, just blowing up with another two spot last night. But we can't blame Jake Marisnyk this time. We can blame Tony Kemp, but we're not going to blame Jake Marisnyk. Okay? Can we stop with the Jake Marisnyk? And don't call him Mba Marisnyk, okay? That's not his name. Because he actually did have a bucket late in garbage time.
Luke Marisnyk scored? I didn't see him score.
Like Mba Marisnyk.
In fact, two of his three layups he missed, he didn't hit the rim.
No, I know. It was this.
They hit the side of, I don't care about his shoulder, they'll then don't play. You're just trying
to
have his
back. Well, that's D'Antoni. That's Luke, not on Luke.
Mute.
Yeah, stop. Because his name is Mba Marisnyk. Yeah,
he is not your family.
He's not Nigerian. Let him go. I don't know why you're doing that voice. But if you got to blame someone, blame. You can't say, hey, coach, don't play me. He's not Rodney Hood.
Maybe he should be.
Yeah.
A little more honesty. Like, coach, just say your shoulder hurts so we don't have to see you anymore. Because literally, you caused a lot of problems in my household with my family. There was people yelling and screaming, and it was really bad in my family when he got in and didn't hit the rim again.
No, that was bad. You just
How do you hit the backboard and not the rim? What is this, a snooker match? Like, I don't understand how this is even, like, what is, I don't understand this brand of whatever it is that you're playing. But, so you ready for this? This is going to really surprise you. Don't look at anything. What did the Rockets shoot from three, do you think, yesterday? As a team, what do you think the Rockets shot from three?
As a team, Well, I know that PJ was 5 of 6 and
6 and 9.
Ariza was 7 of 9 total. I'm going to say that they shot 44%.
38.1%.
Really?
What did, if your name was not Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, what did the Rockets shoot? I'm just taking two guys out of the equation.
Well, then you're going to have to go, if it was that low, it was low. It was
18.5%.
Wow.
The Rockets shot 18.5% from three, other than two players, PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon. And they won by 22. It just goes to show you that the little narratives where everyone thinks it's very easy to figure this game out, it's really not. The Rockets shot terrible from three, other than two players. Trevor Ariza was 1 of 3. It seemed like he was better than that, right? But he got one when they were in the middle of a run. That's why the three-point percentage, that's why what you think you see, it's almost an optical illusion. You feel like you're seeing a higher three-point percentage. And you, and frankly, you were until the fourth quarter. They had a lot of misses in the fourth, too. They didn't, I don't know that they made any threes in the fourth other than maybe one. But so they built a lead behind it. But the point is, what you think you see on the court, Dell, how many ISOs were the Rockets credited with running? Way less, because everyone on TV told me they didn't run ISO. They ran motion game.
Actually, I think the number on our favorite show, Get Up, was it 45 or 46?
Either what did Jalen Rose, Jalen just, so stats are wrong.
Either way, it was one more than game one.
It was the same. They didn't run pick and roll. They just, it was the same, except it was exactly. The exact opposite.
Thank you. Thank you. And people are going to struggle with this because they don't, the TNT guys yesterday were, this is a different offense altogether. This is different. No, they're just attacking. It's not these are guys who played the game saying this. Charles Barkley was so off yet. Like, his commentary has gotten so bad now. It is so unbelievably, and I like watching him. He's entertaining, but he's like not even remotely accurate with the stuff. It's clear that he really, when everyone says Charles doesn't even watch the games, I'm always taking it with a grain of salt. But I really believe people now, like, the Rockets were the number one seed. How do you not watch? They were on your air. Do you just not watch? Are you just watching a golf channel and eating, like, bratwurst during the game? Are you not? You had to have seen how they played when they won on TNT several games this year. How did you miss how they played?
Well, here's the
it's
deal,
like he's
though.
He's memento. He doesn't remember anything.
The outlier was game one. Yes.
But if you watched it and they won 65, you're right. The outlier, because you see 40-some-odd points with James, you say, well, that looks right. And James had a lot of makes. But you're right. They refused. It's like they were just stuck outside the three-point line. They refused to penetrate.
They refused not only to penetrate, but they just sat there. Mm-hmm. Then nothing. Stagnant. Terrible. It was like pitching the ball and running up the middle.
So if you don't
have
Chris Paul.
It was Les Miles football. It was Les Miles basketball.
If you don't have Chris Paul, you don't have anyone to take the ball away from James. This is why it would have stayed the same. You don't have anyone to take the ball away from James.
I think everybody. And it was, listen, we're not the only ones, dude. I'm telling you, I know for a fact, behind the scenes, the assistant coaches were like, too much isolation ball. Too much isolation ball.
It was too sticky.
Yeah. Too sticky is what the
word
is.
Kevin McHale used to always say that, ball got too sticky. This is always going to be a problem with James. Same way it used to always be a problem with AI, and then they took AI off the ball, and they put Eric Snow at the point, and so Allen Iverson wasn't able to dominate. The difference is AI didn't get you a bunch of assists. James does. Mm-hmm. When James is playing in rhythm, man, he actually went to the basket like he didn't get his shot. He was 3 of 15 from three. So non-three-point shots, he was 6 and 9. When he was going to the basket, that dude was good. Everyone was good going to the basket.
Everyone.
They made layups. They didn't give wide open threes up, and they won a turnover battle. Those are the three things in my Sports Map article. I said, look, 13 points is really not that much to make up. If you win the turnover battle, and the total turnover battle was, I haven't seen the number, but it had to be a big win, 13 for the Rockets and 15 for the Golden State Warriors. The difference was Golden State got theirs early. It helped the Rockets extend that lead. Golden State just didn't take care of the ball at all. I thought, you know who I thought was unusually bad was Draymond Green. Draymond just had some bad, and so did Steph. Steph's airmailing throw.
KD had some bad ones, too.
This is not the same Steph Curry that beat the Houston Rockets back at when he was the MVP. He doesn't even look remotely the same.
Yeah. Houston had 33 log plays that were isolation or passes out of isolation for shots or turnovers in game two. That's the same exact amount as game one. They scored slightly less efficiently, but still great at 1.152 points per possession. That's on hardwood paroxysm. But I'm going to it's but you can lie to yourself to say that it was the same. It wasn't even close to the same because they actually got it. It was early offense and ball movement.
Early offense is one of the keys. They didn't Mike D'Antoni, everyone thinks he's lying in the post game and in game. Every one of those guys, Chris Webber, Charles, they all want to be right and they don't recognize, okay, I don't know why. Kenny actually said something. I think Kenny recognized it, that they were driving and kicking out.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles like, no, that's not what it is. They just ran a different – they were running different offense. They didn't run – and Kenny's like, well, they just drove and they were – but they were getting open looks through the pass. Drive and dish is what this whole – is what Mike D'Antoni's whole offense is based on. When you saw it in Phoenix, it was drive and dish. With James, it changes. It's been altered to more of a 1-4 set. But at the end of the day, it charted the same. They just, as you mentioned, they played faster and they got more looks. And frankly, they got way more. Like, their shot chart had to look a lot different. They got 27 points. All those extra points were coming with layups and dunks.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that in the first game.
Nope.
There's no way. I don't know. You're not going to show me a stat that says that they had that many easy, you know, dunks at the basket or
no
six
chance.
Foot lanes.
No. How about when Ariza just walked in all by himself?
That was when you knew, okay, Golden State's Houston and Houston's
well, twice.
Golden
what
State.
About the inbounds pass?
Yeah.
Where he all he did was put a move on Steph.
I'm
by
thinking
the way,
of the fourth
by
quarter.
The way, I feel kind of bad for Steph.
I don't.
I do.
Steph
He's
has always been
used.
Steph
used.
Is a terrible defender. And you know what? So everyone says that about James, right. Which has been accurate. James has been a bad defender. Have you noticed that Steph just gets... People just let... Now, Dell, you'll know this, because if you geek out on basketball, the basketball geeks will tell you he doesn't play defense. But for the most part, Steph has gotten a pass.
Well, Steph...
For not playing any defense.
The numbers state he... Well, I brought up the numbers from game one. As many times you saw him get blown by in straight-on isolation plays, the Rockets were 5-for-14 against Steph. So the shooting percentage wasn't good. He got a couple steals. So percentage-wise, and if you look at the stats, say, okay, that's not a bad night for Steph. I think the difference between, at least in my eyes, Steph and James is Steph, there's some physical limitations. He's a frail dude who's, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3", whatever. There's no real reason James should be a below-average defender outside of effort. I think there's some physical reasons why Steph can't, because he can get bullied. He's just not a big guy. And to be fair, he plays at a premium position where none of those guys can guard the other guy.
Right.
They can't. Chris Paul, I know he gets. Oh, he's a good defender. He's not a good defender anymore. He's an average defender, and those guys in the post, he's fine. But one on one, you can't guard a point guard.
Well,
anymore.
Go ahead, go try a cover. What the hell was that? Cover KD every time down the floor.
Well, that's different. But even if like Dame Lillard's out there, he plays the premium position in the game. You don't guard those guys. You can't.
Hey, you know what? Why I feel good this morning, Dell?
Thrive.
Thrive Plus.
How did Dell know?
Thrive Plus.
Because I create the rundown for the lives.
Oh,
I know
okay.
It's coming.
Dell knew. Well, Dell knows anyway. I mean, everybody knows. Thrive Plus. That's the only way you're going to feel as good as you can possibly. I heard Fred doing the spot yesterday. It was towards the end of their show. And you could tell that Fred was a little lit up with some Carbox now. And he was like, I just took some. I just took three. Well, I'm glad you did, Fred, because you needed them. You needed them after that show yesterday at Carbach. Of course, I need them just about all the time because I'm going to have a couple of pops. I love to have a few pops. And you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to feel as good the next day. Oh, wait, I'm going to feel better. And how about this? If you don't feel 50% better than you would have, then you're going to get your money back on this deal. These are Princeton scientists. They know more about the human body than you do. They just do. They're smarter. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's okay that Princeton scientists are smarter than we are. It's a fact of life. There's nothing we can do about it. And you know what? They've developed an enzyme that is going to attack the alcohol in your liver. And that is why you have your hangover. You know, rehydration is important too, but they got that covered as well. All at decidethrive.com. It's so simple. Go to DecideThrive.com and just feel better. It's inexpensive. Costs you about $3 to feel better the next day. All that money that you're spending on alcohol and you're not going to spend $3 to feel better? DecideThrive.com. DecideThrive.com.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tonight, as a whole, I didn't find a rhythm early. Had some decent looks from three. That could have changed momentum of the game early in the first half.
That's Steph Curry, and, you know, the momentum was a big deal in game one, but then it switched the other way. And the one thing about the Golden State Warriors, you know, Kenyon Martin, between Chris Paul and James Harden, and frankly, Daryl Morey, because no one likes the analytics thing, like all the players think that that's some kind of voodoo, except guys who play in the league now who all play the same way. Most of the teams play relatively the same way. The Rockets are not a well-liked team at all. And they weren't when Pat Beverly was here, as you can imagine. But Kenyon Martin's comments, when we had him on just a while ago with Ice Cube, with the Big Three, Kenyon Martin acted like the Rockets didn't just win by 22 points. Like, he acted like, oh, you're in big trouble. Well, no, actually what we saw is we basically saw the two edges of what can happen here. You've got... If the Rockets play a certain way, see, Golden State's going to play their game. So to me, the Rockets were responsible for their loss and responsible for their win. And when I say, and I'm not trying to take away Golden State, what I'm saying is Golden State is going to play at a level where if you don't do what you're supposed to do, they're going to bury you. That's how good they are. Golden State will bury you if you don't guard Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson would have made a bunch of threes yesterday if they didn't guard him. They just guarded him. They didn't have defensive breakdowns. So if you mess around and let Golden State do what they do, they are going to win. The Rockets are going to be responsible for whether or not they can win or lose this series by defending, by winning turnover battle, and by doing what they did yesterday, John, attacking and getting into early offense. But you can't get into shootouts with Golden State. There's a difference between playing for early. If they want to give you an easy trip to the basket, take your trip.
Yeah, but
who's their rim protector?
Yeah, but they played up-tempo, and I mean, they scored 127, so they were playing faster. There's no question about that.
Yeah, they did.
So I don't know that this team can't trade baskets with Golden State.
I think you can. The reason you won, how many points did Golden State score?
Well, here's the thing. One of the reasons is, okay, you had fast break points, which you didn't have in game one. You hit shots, which you didn't do in game one. Used up the entire shot clock. You missed three-pointers, more three-pointers, which got them in transition, and you couldn't get back in time. And those guys in transition, really tough. They beat you. You didn't turn the ball over, and they did, like in game one. Everything was different. Everything was different. So, I mean, listen, they played like the Rockets played in game one, and the Rockets played like Golden State did in game one. And that's how you're going to win. The question is will they be able to do that? Now, we've seen them in a tough situation in Utah. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we thought after Utah beat them here, holy crap, got to go there. That's a tough place to play. There's no tougher place to play than Oracle. No tougher place in the league.
No, it's the hardest. But the Rockets won there this year.
They won it in game one. Game one of the season, which was a big game, which everybody was, you know, the champs are back, and
it's
they're playing
the
Rockets.
Year of Chris Paul.
Yeah, right. Chris Paul is with the Rockets. That's game one on to start the season right after the Celtics and Cavaliers played with the Kyrie game, and the Rockets won the game, and they won it by scoring a lot of points. So I don't know. I disagree with that. I think you get it. This team can get in a shootout with anybody. Well, and they can hit shots with anybody in the league.
It's true. They have a burst probably either second in Golden State or maybe first in Golden State second. But a couple of things that happened last night that when we talked about it, Lance brings up the point that you can't simply expect what happened in one game to happen the next. It just we've just seen in the first two. It's not the way it goes.
It can be,
each game is almost a series unto itself. You can't just expect something to happen. Like the Warriors, for example, two guys scored in double figures last night for the Warriors. Now KD, who apparently is going to average like 35 a game, and then Steph, who had a bad shooting night, scored 16. Not another Warrior in double figures. That's not something you would expect in Oracle. So
no.
I don't know what you take from this game other than the Rockets played really, really well and won. And you just hope they find a way, whether it be different or the same, to win in game three.
This is why Las Vegas makes so much money, because so many people see one thing and they think, especially in series, that this is the way it's always going to be. I mean, sometimes it happens that way, but usually not between a 1 and a 2. Usually not a team that's won 65 games is not going to just crap the bed the whole time. You got to, like, Golden State could have won that game and the Rockets could have played well, and we might have said some different things. But every game, like, you have to recognize what were the outliers of game one? Were there any? And if you don't see any, and if it's one, you know, sometimes you can analyze a game and say, there weren't a whole lot of outliers. These two teams played about like they played, and there's probably not going to be a lot of differences. And I think that was a mistake that some people made, is looking at game one and saying, well, that's just how it's going to go because that's how the Warriors play. But then if you really got, because for a little bit, I was thinking that. And then I wrote my Sports Map article. I said, wait a minute. Klay Thompson got 4 uncontested three-point shots. And this guy is literally a layup from three. He shot 44%. So that's not necessarily going to be the case in game two. And then you see the Rockets, who had a better turnover differential during the season, they lost by 4. Well, that may not be the same. And can the role players play better for the Rockets? Yes. But what Dell also is saying is right. It's highly unlikely that Klay Thompson scores in single digits. Highly unlikely in game three. So what is going to happen? What do we take from 1 and 2 that is going to show up again in game three? Kevin Durant's going to score a ton of points. We know that for a fact. I would say the Rockets are going to try to play the same pace and tempo. So what do the Warriors do to counter that? I think we are going to see them change. I don't know. I really don't know, but I know Steve Kerr's not just going to, like, you know what we could see? More JaVale McGee as a rim protector in this game. And we may see less Andre Iguodala, because I didn't think Iguodala was any kind of a factor. He may say, you know what? We're going to bring our rim protector in. So when you guys penetrate, just going to let you know, we're not giving you layups.
Except how did that go with Gobert? And,
right.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, that's why.
And Cat.
That's why Capella, that's why he's
Capella
a little different.
Has actually been pretty non-existent in this series, where he dominated in games in the first two.
Did you see when Capella went out and guarded? Yeah. Did you guys see that in the fourth quarter when he sprinted out and guarded Kevin Durant after he crossed half court?
Yeah, except Kevin Durant ran by him.
No, Kevin Durant got. No. Yeah.
I saw Kevin Durant run right by Capella.
Did he make a basket?
Yeah.
Then it happened twice, because the other time he didn't.
Oh, yeah.
He passed off.
I didn't think that was a very good matchup at all. I don't know.
He was 1 of 2 against
KD. Because KD is just dumb. It's dumb good. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll start taking your calls on the other side. We got to catch up here on break. 749. Time to talk Absolute Marble and Granite right now. That's Jeff Aronoff. That's Jeff. He's not really Italian, I don't think. So I don't know why he gets that rap. But here's the deal. It doesn't matter what nationality, race, color, creed. It just doesn't matter. If you need new marble, you call my man Jeff Aronoff. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about any of those things. What he cares about is making sure that your outdoor patio or your fireplace or your new kitchen outside or your new countertops or your new vanities or whatever it is that you need. And it could be you're building a hotel and he can put in all the vanities. He's done that before. Or you could just be building your own house, or your business needs all new countertops. Look at your business. Does it need a new vanity for the bathroom because it's shunkai? Well, you need Jeff Aronoff, okay? If you tell him it's Shungat, he might not know what that means because he's not Italian. But here's the thing, I think he'll be able to discern exactly what that is because he knows the game. All you do is call him. He'll give you 20% off, free estimate. He'll come to your home or business and do that for you. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. Tell him you heard it right here.
Like I talk it, walk it like I talk it, walk it like I talk it, woo, walk it like I talk it.
ESPN
97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, right now, I got to talk about getting back on the air. See, what happened? I thought we had another commercial there. Well, that's terrible radio. So let's get to it here. Kenyon Martin and Ice Cube put us a little bit behind on the clock. But, man, we're going to try and work through that, and we're going to get you on the air. 713-780-3776. Charles is first up here to talk about his Rockets. What do you say, Charles?
Hey, good morning, guys. I got a list of stuff to run down, so I'll make it quick. The first thing I'd like to address, I heard y'all talking about how terrible Steph is on defense and that he gets a pass. Lance is absolutely correct. Steph does. Nobody mentions it, yet they like to make memes and videos of James Harden and his different struggles. The thing about it is, like, sometimes a basketball player can look physically like he ought to be able to do something that maybe he can't, a.k.a. Serge Ibaka. You know, the fact that he can't rebound, but he looked like, you know, if you drew up the perfect picture of what a power forward looked like, you'll probably get him, yet he don't rebound. So what James does, like, he ain't fast. James is not fast, and he's probably, for NBA athletes, that is an average athlete. So, you know, because you see him get to the hole all the time, a lot of times it's because he's a left-handed guy. Is all guard left-handed people, and then he's crafty with the ball. But he's not a speed demon by any stretch of the imagination. So for him to struggle moving laterally on defense when he's not the one dictating where he's going and when he's going to move his feet is probably why he's not a great perimeter defender. Yet you put him in the post, and you'll get, you know, yeah, what I'm saying, stretches of great defensive play when you have him in the post, and it's not as much about footwork as about being strong, a.k.a. the way he would guard Kevin Durant in the post when Durant tried to back him down instead of just turning around and shooting. He played way better defense. That's that. The second thing is, as far as the offense last night, and this dates way back to a time when Mark Jackson was the coach of the Golden State Warriors, when the Rockets actually used to own the Golden State Warriors, when we were running out Jeremy Lin, Chandler Parsons, and James Harden. They struggle when there's multiple guys on the floor who will put the ball, you know, on the floor and drive into the defense. Now, even though Trevor Ariza is not known for penetrating, last night he just made an effort of, you know what, I'm going to attack, I'm going to probe off the dribble, and if it opens up, you know, I'll take a shot. But a lot of times it was just to drive and make the defense switch and move and react, and then that's what's opening up other shots. So you've seen D'Antoni go to, instead of taking Chris Paul out early in the game, even though he had those two early fouls, he comes in with Eric Gordon, and all of a sudden you got four guys on the floor willing to put the ball on the floor, willing to, you know, attack into the heart of the defense, and that's one of the biggest adjustments I think we saw made last night. You know, I'm watching TNT, you know, man, if the Rockets still had their home broadcast going, I'd have watched it on there. But then at halftime, they just basically struggled to, you know, basically give any kind of props to the Rockets for coming out and basically handling them Golden State Warriors. Is, well, I just told you they just played terrible Monday night. You know what I'm saying? Like, those dudes just don't give any credit. All night long, you heard excuses. Steph doesn't look like he have his legs. Steph is struggling. He's not fully healthy. No, how about Steph Curry, you know what I'm saying, is getting abused on defense, and now he can't have the confidence on offense because he's a front runner. You know, what about that? You know, his head been hanging since Monday night when he gave up all those points on defense, but nobody talks about that. Yeah. You know, that's my observation.
There's a lot. We got to break it here, but there's a lot to get to. We'll do that on the other side because there actually is some.
No, he didn't. That wasn't.
What was this? What is this?
You're going to rack him. You're racking him.
not racking him. That was a great call.
What's the matter with you?
Getting racked.
What's the matter with you?
No, he went for like 3 minutes, and they had all these cogent points. You rack him for that.
He did have cogent points.
Rack him.
We'll get to it in a second, and we will get something that I have to ask. I'm not equipped to answer. John is not equipped to answer. Dell is equipped to answer, and maybe some
callers
are equipped to answer.
How much testosterone you have?
I am equipped to answer that. I'm not.
Well, you're not going
to
answer.
I'm about to ask a racial question that involves James Harden that I'm not equipped to answer.
I probably am. I'm dark meat.
No, you're not equipped to answer this.
Well, yes, I am. I'm dark meat.
I would prefer you not answer this, well, just so you could.
Why can't I answer?
So I can keep doing a show with you. I don't need to have another co-host. My question's not going to be about your people, the Italian and Greek.
Dark meat.
No.
I really wish you'd stop saying that.
I am. I can because I am.
He is just makes it so uncomfortable, doesn't he, Del?
Yeah.
What about your testosterone?
I feel like that's another thing you could make uncomfortable. But listen, there's nothing to feel uncomfortable about if you say, I don't know, this whole low testosterone thing, I heard it's about the bedroom. Well, I guess for some people, that's what you look at. And if that's the case, you can look into your testosterone level if you're having an issue with libido. But that's actually one of the mistakes people make. There's this old thought that's what libido is about testosterone. And I don't know, you can answer that with whatever doctor you need to. I know this. Testosterone has to do with the level of, these are things that impacts energy level, early fatigue, the onset of fatigue that doesn't really go away. It's like and it may affect you through your workouts. Your body doesn't convert belly fat to lean muscle mass. It can have to do with drive, like the overall drive of your at the workplace. It can have to do with your sex drive too. It can be one of those or many of those, but I can tell you this. At Men's T Clinic, they will get you tested. They'll find out where you are on the scale. And if you're below the level where you're supposed to be, they can get you treated. And most insurance companies are going to pay for that because it is a severe quality of life issue and your overall well-being is at stake. Get back to being the real you. Don't settle for being a lesser version of you. Find out if your testosterone is low and go to menstclinic.com. There's four locations, one in Sugarland, one in Pearland. I'm not Sugarland, I'm sorry. One in Pasadena, one in Pearland, one in Cypress, and one in the Heights. And you can go find the exact location at menstclinic.com. Treatments are it takes minutes. You're in and out, and you are on the way to getting back to being the real you at menstclinic.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.